Welcome to the Flow Tracy Muddy Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy, recording at 1 p.m. that is Pacific Summer Time. Today is September 23rd. I thought we'd kick off today with the dollar because it has clearly broken out of the range in the dollar index, and that's broken the sequence of lower rally highs, and it's opening up the potential that we're going to see a reversion back towards the mean, which would represent a rather significant advance, particularly relative to the size of the rebounds we've had since March. I think it's also important to highlight that the demise of the dollar over the course of the last 6 months has been an inverse correlation with the rebound we've seen in all risk assets. So the dollar has been a barometer of just how much the US government and the Federal Reserve have been willing to increase supply. So on the one hand, you have the willingness of the government to run extraordinarily large deficits, reaching into the trillions of dollars. And then you also had the clear determination of the Federal Reserve to print as much money as was required back in March. However, over the course of the last few months, the size of the Fed's balance sheet has gone nowhere. It ticked up marginally last week, but it's still pretty much at the same level it was back in May. Then we have the additional point that with the death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the potential for the Democrats and the Republicans to get together long enough to agree a new fiscal stimulus is receding off into the horizon. So that's greatly decreasing the potential that we're going to see an additional fiscal stimulus before the election, and the election is still about 6 weeks away. So therefore we're starting to see that some risk is getting taken off the table. Now, on when we think about the dollar, well, we have got, for example, the UK government is talking about not going through with the budget again in October, and they have been printing a great deal of money, and they're more likely to extend additional fiscal stimulus, not least because there is an additional lockdown in effect and tightening up of regulations with regard to social interaction in the UK, but also across much of Europe. So they're more likely to agree to additional fiscal stimulus in the short term. Well, that's going to increase the supply of their currencies. This is equally true in some of the commodity producers like Australia. The Australian dollar has now broken its sequence of higher reaction lows, and it is now more rapidly unwinding its overextension relative to the trend mean. We had the Prime Minister of Canada today say that they're willing to do whatever it takes to support the economy, so that greatly increases the scope as well, that Canada will be increasing its fiscal stimulus. So there are an increasingly large number of countries that are lining up to provide additional stimulus, and whereas the USA has been leading the world in terms of providing stimulus since March, that's no longer the case. So it is increasing the scope that the dollar is going to extend its rebound and at least unwind its overextension relative to the trend mean. Now, I've been commenting on gold over the course of the last month that I was anticipating that it would pull back further, and it's starting to do that now. It was very marginally off its lows in here today, and it did move to a new reaction low very briefly, but it's certainly a new closing low. Something that was quite common in the bull market up from the lows in 2000 was that we would get these overextensions on occasion, and it was the time when investing and trading in gold was really exciting and very rewarding in a very short period of time. Then we would get these sharp pullbacks and processes of ranging. Usually, when you get a range like that, it unwinds at least part of the overextension relative to the trend mean. But the longer the range persists for, the less patience people have, and they're less willing to buy inside the range because there hasn't been the same clear momentum move that people had been anticipating, and not least because of the evidence of the preceding bull market. So then the bears tend to gain some credence, and you get a swifter process of mean reversion. And that's what we appear to be seeing now. It's very similar to exactly the same kinds of conditions we saw in the last bull market. And gold does tend to overshoot on both the upside and the downside. So it is looking increasingly likely that we are being set up for the next attractive buying opportunity. And silver is now reacting in much more of a high beta fashion relative to gold. So it is at a new reaction low in here today, and very clearly so, finishing on the lower side of the daily range. And I think quite clearly now at risk of pulling back towards the upper side of the base formation, which is give or take around $20. But let's not forget that silver is even more likely to overshoot than gold is. So it can rally incredibly spectacularly, and it also pulls back very violently. So it's very clear that the best time to buy these is when they've had pullbacks. It does suggest that we are being set up for the next good buying opportunity, and that is equally true of the gold shares. The clear consistency of the trend has now been broken. It has broken, the GDX ETF has broken down from its range, so it's increasing scope for a deeper and lengthier period of consolidation. And this is not really all that unexpected. But the reality is that provided that gold and silver hold the majority of their gains up from the lows in March, and I do think that that is quite likely, then the value proposition for gold miners is still very much intact. The vast majority of gold miners make money in the region of about $900 to $1,000. So they are going to be profitable one way or the other. Of course, they have also been greatly assisted by the low price of oil. And oil prices have been encountering resistance in the region of the trend mean. And with the resurgence in the dollar, then there is potential that we're going to see some additional lower to lateral ranging in the oil price. I think it's very unlikely we're going to go back down to test the lows set in April, but that doesn't mean that we can't go sideways for a relatively lengthy period of time. Now, when we then think about what's going on in the stock market, well, the disappointing nature of what Tesla announced at the Battery Day yesterday is filtering through into risk appetite, and the Nasdaq was down in here today by a couple of percent. It's back below the 11,000 level. In fact, it is now encountering resistance in the region of the 50-day moving average. So that is increasing the scope that we are going to come right back down and test the region of the trend mean represented by the 200-day moving average. And it is now coinciding with the region of the previous peak. That would suggest that we are moving into a lengthier period of consolidation. And of course, the supposition that it is going to find support in the region of the trend mean is 100% predicated on the willingness of the Federal Reserve to inject additional liquidity, because that's the big question in the market right now. How low does the market have to go before the Federal Reserve will open up the monetary tap again? If the fiscal authorities are unwilling to sit down and agree additional stimulative measures, then the onus will fall to the Federal Reserve to pick up the slack. And they have shown a willingness to pull back from any kind of philosophical argument and get busy with printing during bouts of higher volatility in stock markets. The VIX index was positive in here today and pushing back up towards the region of the trend mean. So potentially we have a higher reaction low relative to the low put in August, but we'd need to see follow through tomorrow. and pushing back above the psychological 30 level in order to demonstrate that we're back in a risk-off environment in a more aggressive manner. When we then think about what's going on in the bond markets, well, volatility has been low and remains low, and the 10-year yield was basically unchanged in here today. Now, this kind of extraordinarily inert trading is not normal, and it does suggest that regardless of whether the Federal Reserve is in fact engaged in yield curve control or not, the market is behaving as if they are. And that suggests that bond investors believe that the Federal Reserve is not going to allow bond yields to rise, and that they are going to introduce inflationary pressures one way or another. But of course, we are still battling the coronavirus. And the big question now is, when are vaccines going to be made available? It isn't so much about whether the vaccine works or not. If we think, for example, that China's vaccine that they are now exporting to places like Indonesia is only effective in about 50% of people, that hasn't stopped them from injecting lots and lots of people with it. So, and then we have to think about the flu vaccine that comes out every year. In the last decade, there have only been three that have been effective. Last year's one was less than 50% effective. I know that I got the flu vaccine and I was sick for 3 or 4 days with it, but nothing too serious. When we then think about the potential here, well, there is obviously some scope for mean reversion and for additional consolidation. The reality is that the market has become completely addicted to liquidity. Valuations have increased. There is a great deal of uncertainty about the economic outlook. And the positive economic outlook is greatly dependent on the availability of liquidity. Politicians just do not have the wherewithal. They've expended too much political capital and monetary capital to simply call off the lockdowns, regardless of what the medical establishment are increasingly advising. They are not going to simply cancel lockdowns for the simple reason that there is no politician is going to take responsibility for wasting trillions of dollars, euros, pounds, and francs. Therefore, they are waiting for a clear and substantive announcement on a vaccine so that they can walk back the lockdowns and get economic activity moving again. But unfortunately, the entire process has become politicized, and that does suggest that there is a risk premium involved here that is more acute now because of the intransigence of the US political establishment to sit down and do what is necessary to support growth. When we then think about what's going on in other markets, well, the Australian market was up in positive territory in a reasonably dynamic manner in here today because the Australian dollar is pulling back. So that is obviously encouraging. Quite whether it's going to be able to hold it tomorrow with the pullback we saw on Wall Street today is, I think, rather open to question. The continuous commodity index has rallied impressively over the course of the last 6 months, but it pulled back in a dynamic manner in here today. So we are now getting the first consolidation. If it finds support in the region of the trend mean, then that would be really quite supportive of the view that it is, an infrastructure-led recovery is what we can expect in 2021. But it does look increasingly likely that we are going to get some consolidation. Then when we look at the Chinese market, it has also got some consolidation ahead of it. And there is the big question now is with the amount of money that the Chinese government is holding, how aggressive are they going to be in stimulating the economy? They have certainly also got higher yields to contend with. So that is one of the few regions where government bond yields have been rising, and I think that is something that we do need to pay attention to. Then when we think about Japan, the Nikkei was or it's continuing to hold the 23,000 level. It is likely to experience some consolidation over the next while. With the dollar rallying, then the question for the yen is going to be how much is it going to weaken from here, but at least it is holding this 104 level. I think the most important thing with the yen is that there is a clear succession of lower rally highs for the dollar, and therefore while there is potential for some unwinding of the short-term oversold condition, the big question is what's going to happen after that? Are we going to see the yen continue to appreciate, and how willing is the new Japanese administration going to be to clearly try and weaken the currency? Then what's also interesting in here is the Philippines. Rodrigo Duterte is looking increasingly likely that he's going to try and rebel against China. And then he is becoming more supportive of making rather vocal claims about the determination of the UN that territorial waters belong to the Philippines and not to China. Well, that does suggest that the Philippines is going to become more in play in this increasing competition between the USA and China. The Philippine peso has been strengthening. It's been one of the biggest advancers in terms of strength for the currency over the course of the last few years, but it is really quite overbought in the short term, and an intensifying of stress with China could clearly result in some weakness coming through. Then when we think about the UK, well, the FTSE 100 was off its lows in here today, and it is benefiting from the weakness of the pound. It was off its lows for the week, but off its highs for the day. And now the question is it going to pull back additionally here? Are we going to see a move back down towards the lows? The problem for the FTSE is that it is heavily weighted by both energy and banks, and both of those sectors are likely to experience some stress. And then obviously the fact that the Johnson administration hasn't been especially successful in either acting quickly enough to contain the spread of the virus, and then subsequently hasn't been particularly effective in controlling it either. So that is weighing on sentiment for the wider UK market. And then, of course, there is the uncertainty about the Brexit negotiations. So the FTSE 250 is now encountering resistance in the region of the trend mean, and the index has at least steadied at the lower side of the four-month range, but it's definitely at risk here of breaking lower tomorrow as we get a more of a risk-off environment coming through. I do think that we're unlikely to see the kind of big pullback that we saw in February and March repeated, but it is completely contingent on the willingness of central banks and governments to continue to flood the market with liquidity. And until that happens, we're likely to see some additional soft trading overall. And I think with that, I'll leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.